want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to episode 156 of the Geocaching Podcast, recorded live on May 25th, 2010. I'm your host, XFunkX, with
Daryl W4.
If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. Click the button to participate. Our voicemail line is 206-350-3GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is brought to you from donations like from listeners like you. Well, welcome back, Daryl. It's been a hot, sticky week here in the Midwest. I don't know what you've been up to, but I'm really, really, really glad that my air conditioning is still working because, you know, last couple years when I've turned it on, it hasn't worked. We had to refill it, and this year it actually is working. So I'm really, really glad that it's been working since it all of a sudden got hot on me again.
Well, and it's one of those years apparently where we're really going to need it because it's been really sticky up here. Yeah, I looked at the weather this morning because I was going to take the bike into work and ride, to a little restaurant or something for lunch. And saw that by 10 a.m. they were calling for 83 degrees and I think it was like 60% humidity.
Oh, man.
There's no showers or anything at work, so I'm not even going to attempt the bike ride. And, you know, although it might be nice to try to keep away some of the coworkers that way.
No kidding. You know, you might want to try that one.
Yeah, I just don't want to deal with the discomfort that you'd have when you come in and it starts drying and cracking and just nasty.
Yeah, that's not going to be good.
It wasn't the weather per se that kept us out from caching this weekend. Really, what it was for us is just so much other stuff going on. You know, we've done a ton of production work lately on the Cache Maniacs, trying to get a number of episodes recorded, get those edited and prepped so that when it comes time for Geo Woodstock out in Washington, we're all set to be able to fly out there and, you know, enjoy ourselves out there, get some new stories and whatnot to bring back and hopefully do some stuff for some shows like this and not have to worry about putting out all those episodes. So, you know, we're working on backing up some interviews, so we've got that all covered. What have you been up to, though?
Well, I've been, this week I took a day off of work and went down to my parents' house and just hung out with them and did some kind of podcasting business stuff with them. And then on the way back home, I hit 4/5 caches. The reason I say 4/5 is because I found 4 traditionals and 1 earth cache, but I didn't get all of the earth cache information I needed. It was one of those things where I needed to go ask the locals what they call a specific structure. And I was like, that's kind of cheesy. I really don't want to go to the gas station and just be like, hey, what do you call this local structure here that the locals are? So I was like, maybe I can Google it on the way, you know, at home and try to figure out what the locals call this limestone sculpture thing. But I couldn't find it when I got home. So I'm going to have to try and go ask the locals and be goofy next time I'm in town there. And, you know, I'm okay with that. It's really okay. I didn't want to do it at the time. So I'll have to go back.
Sounds
later.
Like a good opportunity for a phone a friend, though.
Yeah, I wish I had a friend a phone that was down there, though.
But oh, well.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I'll just have to wait until I get back down there, which I do fairly often. My parents don't live too far. So, you know, hopefully I can get that fairly soon.
Yeah, and hopefully it will be another one of those interesting stories, you know?
I'm sure it will, and I'll let you guys know once I find out what it is. Now, we did hear from two of the three winners that won the book on the joy of geocaching 2 weeks ago, but we didn't hear from the third one, so the stipulation was you had to email me within 2 weeks and get me your address. So we're going to be giving away another book tonight, so let's go ahead and do that right now. Okay, and the winner is actually pick somebody who already won. So one second here. WV Angler is the person who won the third book. So WV Angler, if you contact me within 2 weeks, I will get the book sent out to you. Now, before I forget it, Daryl, we are not going to be having another show. We won't be having a live show next week. I'm going to be out of town, but we will have a pre-recorded show. So look for that in your feed, but don't show up here next Tuesday, 9:30 PM, because we won't actually be doing a live episode.
Yep. And unfortunately, Montu Ryder was not able to get into talk show. We're having some more of those issues again. So it will be 2 weeks before we'll have him back on the show. And, you know, quite honestly, it will be kind of nice to take a break with all of the production work I've been doing lately. It'd be nice to get away from the audio gear for a while.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
The launch attempt of the United Launch Alliance Delta IV rocket with the Air Force's global positioning system that we talked about last week was scrubbed last night, Monday, May 24th. During the final seconds of the launch countdown, an anomalous data signature with the thrust vector control system on one of the two solid rocket motors mounted to the Delta IV booster was detected. The next launch attempt has been tentatively set for Thursday between 11 and 11:19 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Geocaching question of the day. The Bad Cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience, and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Have you ever cached in multiple time zones in the same day? 53% of geocachers answered yes to this question. I myself was able to cache in the Eastern time zone and the Pacific time zone in the same day, thanks to a cross-country flight. So tell me, have you geocached in multiple time zones in the same day? Want to find out all this and more? Come to my website, cachingnw.com, and follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Listener feedback.
Hey, it's Chicken Tongue from Oswego, Illinois. Just found my 100th cache. Woohoo! I had to call to tell somebody, but I had nobody to tell. So I thought of you guys. I know 100 doesn't seem like much compared to you, you know, experts, but you got to start somewhere, and this is my first significant milestone. So that's it. Have a good day. Bye.
We want to thank you for calling in your feedback. If you have any feedback about any of our episodes, call our voicemail line, 206-3503-GPS, and leave us a voicemail. Now, tonight, we are going to be talking about a topic that's really important to us, something that I don't think that we think about a whole lot because you know, we're caching and we're distracted, but the topic is distracted driving. So there is a big push, at least in the U.S. right now, to keep people from texting and doing other things while driving. So they put out a couple different videos, and we're going to hear the audio from that, so let's go ahead and hear that.
Put Puddles on the line. Yes, I know he's a dog. Puddles, you're going outside with Jennifer to do your business, right by your favorite bush.
Brittany, time travel is totally possible. The fabric of time is interwoven.
Some people choose unlimited calling. Others choose unlimited texting. But there's one thing not included in any calling plan. The common sense not to talk or text while you drive.
Talking and texting while driving isn't worth the risk. Check out distraction.gov.
Well, nearly 6,000 people died in 2008 in crashes that involved a distracted driver. So what exactly is distracted driving? There are three main types of distracted driving, and the first one is visual, and that's taking your eyes off the road. So if you look anywhere in your car, you're looking anything not at the road, that's visual distraction. The other one is manual distraction, and that's taking your hands off the wheel. So if you're going to be doing something like pushing buttons on your phone, programming something, that's manual distraction. And the last one is cognitive, and that's taking your mind off what you're doing. So with cognitive, you may be looking at the road, you may be holding your hands, but you're not thinking about it at all. And distracted driving is often any non-activity a person engages, a non-driving activity that a person engages in that has the potential to distract him or her from the primary task of driving, and that increases the risk of crashing.
Yeah, you know, that cognitive one is one of the ones that kind of gets me sometimes, because, you know, you're driving through the plains or whatever. It's kind of the same scenery over and over. I get this problem actually all the time when I head up north, and it's trees on either side. And, you know, you just kind of zone out, and, you know, you got to remind yourself to keep your eyes on the road and, you know, pay attention to what's going on.
No kidding. And that's one of those things that I think that especially, you know, I do a lot too, especially if it's places that you have been a lot of times before, you know, to and from work, you'll be driving and then you get to work and you're like, whoa, 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 you know, how did I get here? I mean, I know I took the path and I know the path, but I don't remember the whole last half an hour that I was driving. And that's not good, because if you don't remember it, you're not paying attention. You're not, you know, you're not taking in the scenery.
Yeah, we kind of call that the engaging the autopilot. Yeah, and that's especially bad right after you've changed jobs. Like, usually it's that second month or so, you start trying to drive to or from your old job rather than do the new job, because it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to work. No, work's not there anymore. You know, it's over here. But yeah, that can, you know, that's distracted driving, because you're not really paying attention to your route, and we've all done it. It's unfortunately, you know, part of being a driver.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that it's a really good thing. And I don't know, I'm sure the statistics apply in any other country too. But I know that the statistics, at least that we pulled off, came from the U.S. push to not do this distracted driving. And most of their push is not with, or is with cell phones and texting, but it also applies to other activities. You know, like, Daryl, can you explain some of what the other activities are?
Yeah, some of the other ones that they've given us examples of is using the cell phone, like we've already mentioned, but eating and driving, you know, that dashboard driving can be, you know, especially distracting if you start dropping food. But even talking to other passengers in the car can be a problem, you know, especially those heated conversations, you know, anything that takes your eyes and mind off the road. You know, grooming, you know, a lot of this kind of stuff is, you know, every day on my drive to or from work, I see examples of this. But reading, including maps, using your PDA or your navigation system, watching videos, and, you know, even changing the radio stations, or, you know, manipulating the controls and changing the tracks or whatever. But, you know, these are just some of the examples that they've given here. They're having problems with it all over the world. And I know up in Canada, there's been a big change, and they've actually banned use of a lot of these devices now in Ontario, I believe it is. You're not even allowed to have a handheld GPS in the front seat. Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't have the time to go and really research that, but didn't find anything real quick. So if anyone knows anything about that, you know, let us know what that new law is. It just went into effect, I want to say, in April.
Sure, and give us a call if you know anything about that law in Canada. 206-350-3GPS is our voicemail line. Now, Daryl, I know that, you know, especially for me, I'm doing a lot of these things every day. You know, my wife I know that they did a whole interview with Oprah, and she happened to catch that. And, you know, there are some amazing statistics out there that you don't even think about when you're texting and talking and things like that. But even talking to passengers, things that you don't normally think are going to distract you. And I guess the reason that this came to mind and thought this is a good episode for us to talk about here on the show is it really does apply to geocaching too, because, you know, we're using the PDA or navigation system, and that's distracting. And I know for me, you know, probably 75% of the time that I go out geocaching, I'm alone. You know, I'm driving, and I'm also looking at the GPS at myself, and maybe even looking at my iPod Touch to try to figure out what the description and the hint and everything on the cache is, and maybe even, you know, phoning a friend if I can't figure it out all while I'm driving. And, you know, that's doing three or four of those things that they talk about there. And that's not a good thing.
No, it's not. Before we move on though, someone in the chat room who's logged in just as guest 12 did confirm it is Ontario, but that passengers are allowed to use the handheld devices in the front seat. Now, you know, you mentioned, you know, doing all of this stuff and, you know, the passengers in the car even being a distraction. And one of the interesting studies I had heard last year was actually that the passengers are far less distracting in most situations than are the telephones, because they're in the car and engaged in the situation. So if there's something looking a little bit odd, they can react just like the driver can. And someone on the other end of that phone isn't going to. And certainly any kind of MP3 player, CD player, you know, your PDA, your phone, whatever, doesn't have a clue what's going on around it. So, you know, they're certainly not going to tell you, hey, put me down and, you know, hit the brakes.
As smart as we make our smartphones, they're never going to be smart enough to tell us that there's something going to be, you know, that we're going to crash.
Exactly.
Now, one of the, I mean, this really has hit me, at least today, you know, and when I was rereading this stuff today, it really hit me because I do have three kids and I have a wife and, you know, they rely on me not to be dead. So I have to do this because, you know, I don't, it's just a game. Geocaching is a game and I can't die. I don't want to die because of something that I'm doing. I know that I have, you know, there's been several times where I'm not paying attention and I'm, especially when I'm geocaching, you know, I find that it doesn't happen as much if I'm talking on the phone. I try not to text while I'm actually driving. I'll text if I'm sitting at a stoplight, but I find that, you know, when I'm geocaching and I'm looking at the GPS, a lot of times that's when I actually get the close calls where I'm like, whoa, that was almost an accident. And we can't do that because, again, my kids and my wife rely on me.
Yeah, you know, I've done a couple of those, you know, try to text real quick while I'm at the stoplight. And I decided, you know, just a couple of those, and it's like, I can't do it anymore because I'm just getting nervous even, you know, trying to watch the light and make sure that I'm not typing the wrong thing at the same time. So, you know, that's just one of those things where, even if it's not a safety thing, I decided it's just not worth doing it. You know, I'll pull over, do a couple of lines to text or call someone real quick. But, you know, you really just sometimes have to think it's not even the safety thing. But what if you mistyped a word when you're texting someone and got them real pissed off at you?
No kidding. Well, you know, and some of the statistics that we found is that according to Carnegie Mellon, driving while using a cell phone reduces the amount of brain activity associated with driving by 37%. That's an amazing statistic out there. 37%. If you're using a cell phone reduces that brain activity that should be used for driving when you're just using a cell phone. And that's, you know, amazing. And another thing, you know, I did mention the statistic that said 6,000 people died in 2008 in crashes that involved a distracted driver. That's a lot of people. And also they said that more than 500,000 were just injured. So again, it's a real push here not to use your electronics, not to be distracted while driving.
Yeah, and the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety said that drivers who use handheld devices are 4 times as likely to get into crashes with serious injuries. And from University of Utah, using a cell phone while driving, whether it's handheld or hands-free, delays the reactions of the driver as much as having a blood alcohol concentration at the legal limit of 0.08%. And, you know, limits, of course, on alcohol consumption vary per state. But, you know, that's pretty bad if you think about it. And I've actually seen videos of some of the simulators that they're bringing around to show off exactly how bad that is.
Well, and I think that when my wife, I mean, I know when my wife told me that statistic, because she told me that one originally when she saw that, the whole video piece that they did. And, you know, I was like, there's no way that it's the same as being, you know, drunk. And, you know, now that I get to think about it, I look back on the times that I did have the close calls, and like, there are things that, you know, I was going over the line a little bit, you know, all the same signs that you're drunk, just be from what I was doing driving with the cell phone. Now, there are certain states that have a completely banned using your cell phone and texting, and we'll go ahead and link to the website that has all the states in the United States with the that are banned and you know, stuff like that. So that's distraction.gov/state-laws, but we'll go ahead and link that in our show notes, geocachingpodcast.com.
Well, now also coming from the chat room is someone saying that many Ontario people are still using cell phones, and his wife's stepfather just got a $160 ticket for getting caught using a handheld device.
Well, that's something, you know, that's not worth it either. Even if you think you have a pretty good control over your car, it's not worth that ticket to use that. And, you know, if you have to use your cell phone, if you have to use your PDA, pull over.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just not worth it. You know, you fumble it, you drop it, and then you've got, you know, as long as you don't get into accidents, you've got a device that you might have accidentally stepped on too. But yeah, you know, you got to watch out for these tickets in a lot of states in the U.S. And I believe it's actually the same way in Canada too, where if you start getting some of these kind of tickets, the insurance companies are actually allowed to raise your rates more than if you got into an accident because you are now a hazardous distracted driver.
Well, and you know, that's one of those things that, again, it's not worth it to lose your driving ability or make your insurance rates go up because of that. No, Daryl, we're talking a lot about the distractions and what causes it and why we shouldn't do that. Well, we're geocachers and we use the GPS, which is a handheld device. And, you know, I've admitted it myself that it's distracted me while geocaching or while driving. And so how can we as geocachers still drive and still cache and not be distracted? The first thing that I can think of is go with another person. Let that person navigate to the cache. That's the easiest, best way I would think is go with more than one person, allow them to do the stuff that normally would distract you so that you won't get distracted.
Yeah, this is one of the best reasons to go with the big groups for the power caching runs where you can assign those duties, because whoever the driver is, that's all they're doing. They're just driving. You know, maybe when they're waiting for everyone else, they're punching in the next cache into the Nuvie or TomTom, whatever, so that they know where they're going. But you know, if you have all those other people in the car, you don't have to worry about anything. You've got the person who just drives, and that's all they're doing.
Now, if you're gonna go alone, because sometimes you have to, you know, there are people who they're the only cachers in their family, so they you know, or they don't have any friends that cache, so they're gonna go alone. Or, you know, like me, occasionally I go to, you know, a cache while I'm on my lunch break or things like that, so I'm going alone. If you have to do that, figure out your route to get closest to the cache before you go out, and then park and use your GPS. So, for, you know, you can use the Google Maps, you can get a good idea of where you're going. If you have to, have your GPS on, but in the car, but don't look at it at all. That way, if you are lost, you know, you can't quite remember where those directions were to get to that, you know, park or wherever the cache might be. You can pick it up, pull over, pick it up and look at it, but definitely don't do it while driving, because that will, you have to get orientated to where you're at, and that will cause you to get distracted.
Yeah. One of the things I've been tempted to do on a couple of occasions too is grab my iPhone while I'm out for a first to find run or something like that with the routing going and try to look at that while I'm driving, but I didn't have the mount for the car. So without that mount for the car, and you just can't really look at it because you're holding it in your hand, setting it on the lap, dashboard, whatever, and then you're trying to fumble for it to try to look at it. So, you know, you got to, you know, keep it handy. Pull over, look at it, okay, and then get back on the road.
Well, and it seems like I've been looking at the chat room here, and it seems like there's a big fines wherever you go. FireSafe was saying that, you know, in Australia, there's huge fines for using a cell phone while driving too. And I would guess that it would probably apply to the same thing as far as a PDA, something that, you know, has the same effect as a cell phone too. And it seems like there's a lot of different states in the U.S. that are putting that same policy into place too. And you know, at first, when I first heard about this, I was on the same, I was kind of like, hey, that's not fair. I shouldn't have to not use my phone because I'm driving. But you know, the more I hear about it and the more I see people who are driving in their cell phones and just don't pay attention and have almost hit me, I realize how it is a good thing.
Yeah, it can be really, really bad. You know, just even the distracted drivers who don't get into accidents, just causing a lot of traffic problems. And unfortunately, I'm very familiar with that. Just about every day, there's a couple of locations where people on the cell phones just cause massive traffic backups.
Yeah, and you know, there is also, you know, if you're gonna be needing a GPS in your car, there is the car GPSs that you can use. You were going to have to put it on your dashboard. What I would say to do with that is make sure that you have your route set And so you're not looking at it and trying to figure out your route while you're driving, but you actually have your route set. And so the GPS can tell you, you know, turn left here, turn right here. So you don't even really need to look at the GPS to get to your final destination. And then when you get to your destination, get out of your car, use your handheld GPS. But, you know, if you have to use it when you don't have something that has like an audio direction, like turn left, turn right here, you know, make sure that you're just glancing at it quickly. Again, that can be a distraction, but it's in front of you. You don't need to take your eyes off the road very much. So that's not the best way to do it, but if you have to do something where you need a GPS in your car, go ahead and use the car GPS.
Yeah, and you know, I have a couple of GPSs, handhelds, that do the beeps for the routing, and that just doesn't help very much because I got to take my eyes off the road and figure out where they're telling me to turn and everything else. So to me, that was what made the Nuvi such a great investment. And those things are fairly cheap. Both the TomTom one and the Nuvi I've seen for under $100. So if you're going to be doing this, you know, it's probably worth trying to invest that tiny little change to go and get one of these devices and help you route to the cache. And that's just so much nicer than having to deal with the handheld anyway. And it frees it up because then you've got, you know, the one device that you load in all of your caches that you're driving to and the other device that you can keep, you know, set up for the next cache or the last cache, whatever, you know, take a look at cache densities, you know. It's just nice to have two different devices. And if you have two people in the car, you know, your driver is, you know, routing off the Nuvi and your navigator, we'll call him, is over there in the passenger seat checking out cache density and, you know, where your next stop is after that.
Well, we did have a question in our chat room that says, which Nuvi works best for loading PQs? I've not had a whole lot of experience with the Nuvis, but I know that you can load them all in what they call custom POI points. So that would work, I believe, Daryl, correct, with any of the Nuvis?
Yeah, any of the Nuvis will support the POIs. Most of the handhelds will do that as well, POIs. But the newer Nuvis will actually allow you to just drag and drop the GPX files right into their GPX folder, and it will automatically create the favorite icons, which is waypoints on the regular handheld units. And I'm not too fond of that method. I actually like the custom POIs better because I can delete them in one fell swoop without deleting everything. But the other nice thing is GSAC has a great macro, which I have not really spent any time with, that will actually give you a lot of the cache information right in the description of the POI. So definitely work, and definitely a nice way to work those in the Nuvis. And a lot of people I know prefer the Nuvis over the TomToms. I haven't spent any time with the TomTom, but I have spent some time with like the PN40 and with some of these other ones, you know, which are, you know, nice units, definitely do a nice job, not very good at routing. And I've spent some time with the TomTom app on my iPhone. And I'll still say, even though the TomTom might not be as good, I very much prefer dealing with the TomTom for navigation rather than the, you know, handhelds that just beep at you.
Well, you know, in closing tonight, I want to reaffirm you guys, you know, it's not worth getting into an accident. It's not worth losing your life, causing other people to die. You know, I definitely, you know, I would never drink and then drive. And so why would I do the same thing, you know, have the same effect when I text? Why would I be okay with that? You know, I'm not okay with drinking and driving. So why would I be okay with using my cell phone, using my GPS? It's not okay. And so guys, check out distraction.gov. They've got a bunch of cool links and cool videos, some good statistics with the, you know, with, so you can see exactly how bad it is as far as, you know, this is a big epidemic and we need to take care of it and we need to stop driving and texting and even using our GPS. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. If you found any value in the content of this podcast, please consider helping our show out by visiting geocachingpodcast.com/support. Join us each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line at 206-350-3GPS anytime and leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and happy caching.